You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. Here, we'll help you unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship and self-development. This is your host, Alex Quinn. I'm a full-stack marketing executive and global keynote speaker. Get ready to get real-world knowledge from top-level entrepreneurs and world-class business leaders.
Hey guys, Randy Zuckerberg here.
Hi everyone, it's Neil Patel, and you're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle.
This is the motherfucking CEO, Andy Frisella. You're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle with Alex Quinn.
Become an authority and thought leader in your niche. Join a free private community of entrepreneurs and professionals looking to grow their business and optimize their performance. Get easy to learn resources and materials that empower your personal and financial success. Easily accessible for free on desktop and mobile app. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to access now. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
What's going on, everyone? This is Alex Quinn, and you're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. On today's episode, we have Bob Bly, copywriter. What's going on, Bob?
Thanks, first of all, for having me here. And we're having heavy rains, but other than that, we're okay.
Hey, thanks for being flexible, guys. Give you some context. I had Bob booked for last week. We had some crazy storms here in Miami. Had to reschedule. I was on the edge of my seat because I wanted to make sure he actually rescheduled because I was very excited for this. Guys, I talk about copywriting a lot. I'm sure I've mentioned his book already, The Copywriter's Handbook, in one of the 70-something episodes out here. The whole team talks about it. We swear by it. We're marketers. Well, of course, we have to be good at copywriting. And this man is an icon in the copywriting space. He's a best-selling author. He's done so many incredible things, and I'm very happy to have him on. So, Bob, tell us, where are you right now?
I am in Morris County, New Jersey, which is sort of in the, you know it?
No.
Sort of in the middle of the state. The town is Montville. And years ago, I gave up my outside office and moved my office home. And so I'm home right now.
Yeah, I heard in an interview that you love working from home, and we have that in common. I love being home. I have my setup. I love working, being organized out here and knocking out a ton of my work.
Yeah, actually, I loved having an outside office. I had it for over 20 years, but for reasons I won't go into unless it's relevant, I had to give it up, and here I am at home. But now that I'm home, I'm happy.
Yeah, I was on the same boat for many years. I had several offices and I had staff coming in and out of the offices for the agency. And then eventually transitioned over to working from home. And we found it to be a lot more efficient. And I know you've had experience with agencies. I know you've had experience working with big brands. So I know you know what that's like.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you weren't going to be a copywriter the whole time. You were going to be a chemist, if I'm not wrong. Is that correct?
I majored, and I have a BS degree in chemical engineering from the University of Rochester, which I got in 1979. So I was planning on being a scientist, a chemist, but you know, that I was sent on a different path, so to speak.
Right. Copywriting. How did that happen?
Well, I was always interested in writing. I didn't really know what copywriting was in college, and I had no contact or experience with marketing, but I knew I wanted to do writing. And so when you're a senior chemical engineer in college, companies start coming on campus to recruit you. And a couple of companies came to recruit me and they said, well, we might hire you as an engineer, but we happen to have requirements for writers with a technical background. And so I got offered two jobs. One is a technical writer for Westinghouse in Pittsburgh. And the other, they called it a MarCom writer, which I didn't know what that meant, in Baltimore. And it turned out I took that job and that was more marketing oriented. We didn't even use the term copywriter, but we were called MarCom representatives. But that's how I got into it.
That's incredible. And I had a fun fact out here about you that by the age 27, you had published your 10th book already. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it was around 27 or so. Yeah.
That's my age right now. That's incredible, man. I've been trying to work on my book for a minute now, but you know, I'm learning out here and trying to gain more experience. And it's a lot, right? When you're younger, you're learning about so many things, specifically if you're getting into business. Like I didn't even find out about copywriting until years after marketing. I didn't even realize the importance of being a good copywriter, having good copy. It's not just about creating video content or nice photos or putting nice ads out there. It's how you're communicating with people. So I definitely see the importance. And I think it's incredible how much you've impacted the industry, because no matter who I speak to in the game that actually does this, your name never gets left out, man.
Well, it's nice to hear that. I'm not a superstar copywriter. I always describe myself as a plotter. I am just have my nose to the grindstone. You know, I tell people I do this 60 hours a week, 51 weeks a year for 40 years. If I wasn't at least a little better at it than the average person, I'd really have to be stupid.
I hear you, man. Listen, most business owners don't know the progress behind copywriting. Can you really break down how copywriting works in a really simple way? How does it help businesses?
Well, the simplest way, and of course, this is a discussion we could have for 3 hours. But right. The simplest way is whenever you're marketing, whether it's digitally, on the web, in email, or in print, in a magazine, or on radio, you run those things to get business, either leads or direct sales. Copywriting is the key, or I think it is the key. I was going to say a key, but it is the key to making those that kind of marketing and advertising turn into productive, result-getting work that generates a positive ROI.
Absolutely. And I think I love how in the Copywriter's Handbook, you break down, you know, just everything you need to know about being a copywriter, about simplifying, about how to speak to your customer, about not getting too technical with jargon if people don't necessarily understand it, just really understanding your audience. And I remember after I came across your book in an Airbnb in Houston, Texas. I was traveling to a conference and the Airbnb owner had a stack of books, and my business partner pulled it out and she started reading it throughout the whole trip. And she's like, hey, listen, you really need to read this. Anyways, I read the book, and after finishing the book, I had highlighted all the key things that I felt were important, and then I transferred them to a Google document, right? That Google document would be what you would call my copywriting Bible moving forward. Because for me, after reading that book and then going back to my websites, going back to my social media, it was a little bit embarrassing for me to catch myself and all of the mistakes or all of the things that I shouldn't have been doing should I have not read that book, right? And it's just so crazy because it's obviously you don't know what you don't know, right? But when you're gonna excel in a specific career, my career specifically marketing, you have to be able to hit all areas of marketing. And one thing people do all the time is they try to be so busy doing so many things. A lot of the times they don't take time to learn, right? To sit down and learn and read from people with previous experience, be able to understand that experience and apply it into their business.
Yeah, I agree. When people get into freelance copywriting, for example, they say, how should I spend my time? I have a formula, 25, 50, 25. 25% of your time is spent in self-education and office administration. So running your business, but also going to seminars, listening to webinars, reading books. That's 25%. 50% or a little more should be on billable client work. And the other 25% of your time should be, when you're beginning, at least anyway, should be self-promotion and marketing to get the clients.
Right. That's very important. I've talked in previous episodes too, is like, when you don't take the time to educate yourself, most of the time you're just regurgitating the same stuff you know over and over again. You got to take the time to learn new concepts, see how people are doing things differently, and it'll help you shape your business, no matter what business you're in.
That's another concept that I think both of us could spend 3 hours discussing. And it is my pet peeve with people in general, but writers in particular, that they think once they learn something, that's it. And you know the old expression, school is never out for the pro.
It's true. And I think the sooner like people realize that you need to continue educating yourself, the better. If you're listening to this right now, guys, and you're 18, you're 19, you're 20 years old, and maybe you can't wait to get out of college, or you can't wait to graduate high school, wherever you may be, you're never going to be done going to school. You don't see right next to me, but right next to me is a shelf full of books, copywriting books, marketing books, psychology books, and I'm trying to be the best at what I do, right? I'm trying to actually excel in what I do. I'm trying to be one of the top people. When people think, who are the top marketers in the world? Who are the people that, you know, carry the biggest influence? I want to be one of those people, but I know I'm not going to be able to get there unless I prepare myself. I can't just be entitled and think, you know what, I deserve this title, or I deserve to be in the top five or in the top 10. You have to be able to give that yourself that chance to learn, and not also learn, but implement. Because you could sit here and go, Bob, you've written a ton of books. People could sit here and go through all your books in 2, 3, 4 weeks, however long it takes them to read them. But if they're not actually taking those concepts and applying them into their business, they're not actually learning anything. They're just spending a ton of time reading.
The ROI of education and learning and reading without action is zero.
Right.
It is. So what I do, and I was explaining to you before, is when I grab a book, I'll have the physical book. I'll start reading the physical book. I'll highlight the main key points that are important to me. Then I'll open up Google Docs. I have my microphone. I speak into Google Docs what I just highlighted in the book. So mind you, I read it. Then I came and I highlighted it. Then I came and I spoke it into the computer. And now I have notes that then I could come read. I usually go through the notes every month, kind of trying to remind myself of the key things. Or when we're working on big projects, we have our notes that we break down. And I think it's very important to do that, not just with books about marketing or copywriting, but, you know, about finances, about self-help, about anything that you really actually want to do. You want to put it into action right away. Put it in your calendar, put it on your task management system, whatever it is that you do, make sure that you apply it right away and you start seeing how your life starts changing extremely quickly, and you start having a more balanced life, and you'll be able to have a really solid foundation to work off of.
Education and self-education is like the Sunday New York Times. I live in Jersey, so we always go to the store and buy the Sunday New York Times, or we have been for many years. And we always said, if you don't read it by Tuesday, you're going to throw it out. And similarly, if you go to a webinar or a seminar, and you don't put one of the ideas to work that week, you're never going to use anything.
It's true. It's true. Going to seminars and going to conferences and all these types of things really changed the game for me. And I've been talking about this for the last year and a half on the podcast, on several episodes, on breaking out of your shell, right? On going out there and meeting new people and allowing yourself to learn, even if you have to travel, even if it's local. What do you think? How important do you think it is for people to go out there and go to these conferences and seminars and making these connections?
Well, of course, compared to you, I'm elderly, but I did it most of my life. I always went with a paycheck. I was asked to speak constantly at these events. I did corporate training. I did workshops for associations. So when I went there, I would attend the whole session. So I would give my 90-minute talk and then sit with my pad and pen and attend all the others that I thought would be interesting to me. So I went to a lot of conferences. I met a lot of people, networked, and you get a lot out of that. In the past couple of years, mainly because of COVID, people started to Zoom, and I went along with that. And again, at my advanced age, I'm not sure how much more travel I'll do, but I hope to get out and do more.
Yeah, man, especially because of all the people that you've been able to help. There's so many people that actually, you know, want to ask you all these questions and want to be able to put a face to the name.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in real quick to tell you about how to train yourself in organization, balancing your priorities, developing successful habits, and most importantly, having a better mindset. I'm giving free access to resources and materials on business management and self-development. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to get access. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Hustle Inspires Hustle. Okay, let's get back into the episode.
Now, I've been talking to you throughout this episode about Copywriter's Handbook, but let's talk about the big book of words that sell. Okay, so every time my team and I gather and we get together and we're going to do copywriting, we're going to do headlines, we're going to do ad copy, long form ad copy, landing page copy, whatever it may be, we have our notes from Copywriter's Handbook, we have the big book of words that sell. And to be honest with you, we don't do any copywriting unless we have those physical copies in front of us. When we travel as a team, we bring your copies over to every single city that we travel to be able to implement it. And it's important to go back to the basics, because sometimes people try to be extremely fancy. They try to overdo it. And going back to the basics is never wrong. Let's talk about the big book of words that sell. Why don't you break that down for us? what made you want to create that? Was there something in the market like that, or it was not there and you decided to bring it to life?
I always tell the truth. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Superman, but at one point Lois is interviewing him and he says, Lois, I always tell the truth. And I do, even if it's not good for me. So in the Big Book of Words That Sell, one of my publishers approached me and said, we want this book. And their idea was what you see in the book, which is to do a book of 1,200, however many words there are that were esoteric vocabulary words. I don't know if you read the New York Review of Books, but that is the quintessential publication that uses this kind of language. Now, I normally, when I'm writing, write very simply, but the benefit of the Big Book of Words is sometimes you want to use a word that'll pop and get attention in a certain place. And, you know, this book can give you some inspiration.
Question, how do you organize yourself, or how do you find the time to put together all these books, all this content, according to the work that you also have, right? You have a lot of stuff going on, and it takes a lot to put a book together. It takes a whole lot to put a book together, and you have an incredible repertoire. So how does that work for you?
Now, I'm going to suspect, I shouldn't talk out of turn, that you're going to be the same way as I am. I love work. You know, the playwright Noel Coward said, work is more fun than work. Work is more fun than fun.
Than fun, yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with that. So I work, as I said, 12 hours a day, at least 5 days a week, you know, probably 60 hours or so in a week, and have been doing so for four decades. So the way I am, given that I do so much work, there is time in the day to do everything that I want to do. And when I don't finish, if my time is tight, I take my reading and I do it after work, sit in the living room and read the source material or the self-education. I usually do that at night. And so in my copywriting practice, I devote 80% of my time to doing client work that's under a deadline, 80, maybe even 85% or 90%. And then at the end of the day, when I'm sort of pooping out, I'll switch to one of my pet projects that isn't quite as lucrative, but is very enjoyable. And that's basically my pattern.
What is your client profile like? What kind of people are you working with right now?
To oversimplify, I work with clients that fit two basic criteria. Number one, they are knowledgeable, three basic criteria. Number one, they're knowledgeable marketers. We used to, when direct mail was all we did, I used to say, I want a client who knows where the indicia on the envelope goes. I don't want to explain indicia to someone. So I want a client who knows marketing. Mm-hmm. I want a client who values results over aesthetics. And many people don't. And the third one is, in terms of industries and projects, I can elaborate, but I tend to go with projects and industries that have some level of complexity. They're not the simplest things, because my sort of sweet spot is understanding things that a lot of other copywriters tell me they can't, or they don't get it. Perry Marshall told me the same thing. I said, why did you, decades ago, we were taking a walk in Florida, and he said, I said, why did you go into Google AdWords? He said, I wanted to pick something that was a little technical so I would have less competition.
I hear you. So, okay. And you're operating a remote team right now?
I am really a solo freelance copywriter, except I have one, and everybody's remote. I have one full-time employee.
Nice.
She books, you know, I think your team has talked with her.
She's great. Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah. Everybody likes her better than me. I like her better than me.
Yeah.
So I have Jody, and then I have the other people are part-timers.
Right.
And some of them are on retainer with me. Some of them just freelance for me. And I bring them in as I need them. You know, I have a web developer on retainer for 20 hours a week. I have an ebook designer who's not on retainer, but when I need an ebook cover, she does it. I outsource. I am a huge believer in outsourcing.
Yeah.
I outsource everything that is not my core competency. And I don't have a lot of core competencies. So that means most things.
Right. But that's awesome, man. I love that because I relate to that a lot because I work in a very similar aspect. I like to run with a lean team, but a talented team, right? A team that understands. Like I was mentioning to you, we travel together, we read together, we send books to each other, we read similar books, we discuss the books, the big main ideas of the books, what do we think, what do we take away? And that's really important. I don't think it's about the size of the team. It's about, you know, how far that team could go. You have companies out here with 3, 4, 5 people who are absolutely crushing it and they're being extremely efficient. And that's really the reason why I transitioned away from having an office space and being able to work from home, because I found it a lot easier to get stuff done and I found the productivity to skyrocket for everybody that I was working with. So let me ask you, man, with new softwares and AI technology being released, do you think that copywriting will be able to be automated fully one day?
I looked into this a few years ago when one of the first IA copywriting companies came out with its software. I don't know if you know them, Persado.
I don't. I know conversion.ai. That's the one that...
So they had software that they say could write copy. So I called up and interviewed the CMO. He said, Bob, really what we have is copy software that can write subject lines. What it does, it analyzes the results on subject lines and puts together one to test against the others, and it usually wins, but it can't write anything longer than 60 or 100 words. Now, do I think, now certainly there's software that can write intelligently and clearly, but copywriting, and let me say this first, copywriting takes something above that. It really is based on human emotion. So I feel there's no software out there right now, and I've seen a lot of the copywriting software that can do anything close to what an A-level copywriter can do. However, I would have been one of the people who said, no computer will ever beat Garry Kasparov at chess. He said that. 2 years later, Watson beat him. So I'm not a good futurist, and perhaps it may be.
It's true. My team and I have been looking into conversion.ai, mainly not for performance like sales copy, but mainly to get some ideas and the juices flowing for like blog topics and different things like that.
And I think it's good for that.
I think it's good for us, it's good for just that. As far as headlines and like long form ad copy for high ticket products, medium ticket products, it, you know, old school is always going to be the thing for us. I just think that as technology develops, we should be able to embrace these tools. And some tools will be able to fully rely on and say, hey, this tool has it. And some tools are just going to be able to complement what you're already doing as a human being.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, what you say is to get software to write result-getting, winning, long copy for consumer products that have an emotional component, as most do, will be very difficult. But I can't say it will never happen.
No, we can't. We never know.
I asked my son, he's 28, my youngest son, and he's a software engineer.
Okay.
And I said, when will there be like Terminator type AI? And he said, Dad,
it's all right here.
60 years.
Oh man. Technology is growing so fast. It's really cool to live in this time and see it happen.
It is. I mean, I'm a technology guy. I'm an engineer, so I love it.
Yeah, man. And you said you've been doing this for 4 decades, right? Copywriting?
Yes.
How do you want to be remembered, Bob?
To answer it right off the top of my head, I want to be remembered as someone in this business who put his clients and his associates and his readers and subscribers first. I've always felt that when I'm dealing with anyone, I want the other person, if it's not equal, I want them to come out ahead. And I always try to help people whenever I can. That's what I want to do.
Absolutely. And look, man, you're already doing it and you have already done it. That's why I was so excited to have you on here. It's really cool to be able to read your thoughts across many books and then be able to have a conversation with you, right? We're all human beings and we all want to learn. So listen, I can imagine that your client list and your waiting list is probably miles long, but people want to reach out to you. People want an opportunity to potentially work with you on a project. Can they do that? How can they do that? How does that work?
It's easy. Either they can email me, rwbly@bly.com. Even easier to remember is they can go on my site. And there's plenty calls to action. My site is my last name, www.bly.com. Or they can get me on LinkedIn.
Okay, yeah, I was going through your site. You have a very, very in-depth website. and probably one of the coolest personal brand domains I've ever seen. You have a three-letter domain, BLY. Guys, it's www.bly.com.
I was late to the internet, but early, I grabbed that domain name because it's my name, and I love having it. And I've been offered by these legitimate domain name resellers as much as $40,000 for it. And I say to them, why would anyone pay for it? Their name is Imply. And one of them explained to me, threeletterdomains.com are so rare that they will come up with something that fits the letters.
The acronyms, yeah. I have a friend that spent $8 million on a three-letter domain. So I see, and I understand that fully. Hey, listen, Bob, it's actually an absolute honor to have you on here. I'm going to take you up on that offer of connecting with you on LinkedIn because I know that my agency will one day be able to work with you on something. We'll be able to for sure do some incredible things. In the meantime, you said www.bly.com. You guys could contact him on LinkedIn, Robert Bly, or make sure you go on Amazon or any place where you purchase books and look into his books. If you want, you guys want to become better marketers, you guys want to become better business people, you guys want to be able to communicate better with clients, with people in general, make sure that you understand these principles, you take the time to hear this episode, look into some of the books, and educate yourself. Bob, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Guys, this is Alex Quinn, Bob Bly, Hustle Inspires Hustle Podcast. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Hustle Inspires Hustle Podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could share, leave a review, and subscribe to the show. Visit hustleinspireshustle.com/app for more free resources, event invitations, and online courses to empower your personal and financial success. Learn about marketing, finances, business development, branding, strategic partnerships, and much more. If you're looking to further connect, check me out on Instagram or LinkedIn at Alex Quinn. That's AlexQuinn. See you on the next episode.